Ronnie, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I would pay you a lot of money to leave right now.
Hi, Ronnie.
Somebody has a picture, right? Oh, yeah. Food. I came into OA on October 2nd of 99. We're done, Vicky. You said that it's me and we're done, so like, let's close. So anyway, I came to OA on October 2nd of 99 in Pasadena, California, and I was weighing well over, I stopped weighing 200 pounds. So, you know, that's like, because I'll never go over 150, 60. So by fluke, by that time, I heard about OA. And so I went to my first meeting in Pasadena. It was a Saturday morning meeting. And when I think about it, it's really funny because I was, you know, the heavy, really angry, afraid newcomer. And it was a very nice meeting. It became my home meeting for 5 years. And they were doing the 10th step. And the only, like, I couldn't understand why there were, like, I don't know, 30 people at the meeting, and I was the only newcomer. And I didn't understand why they're not doing step one, because I'm the newcomer. Like, why, what's wrong, you know, like, why are we doing step 10? And then I felt really sorry for them, because they all talked about how they were making amends and stuff, and I had never made mistakes. So I was like, I can probably skip that step. So I felt for these losers, I really did, but I came back for some reason. Before we closed, this lady that, you know, like all the good OA stories I've never seen since, she told me to go to a meeting a day and to get a sponsor, and that's it. So I wasn't working, we just moved to the US, I think less than a year before that. And I made OA my full-time job. I went to 9 meetings a week for the following 2 years. Within 3 months into OA, I started going to inner group. And again, you know, we talked about it today, and it's just, you know, my sponsor told me. That's it. You know, there was no arguing. There was no, do you want to go to inner group? It's like, be there 3 p.m., you know, on Tuesday, and you need to give service. And that's it. There was no, you know. So that's how I got into service. And we're done. I wasn't always overweight, but I always felt different, and I think that's the disease. I think that the disease is not about the symptoms. It's not about how much I binge or how much I weigh or, you know, how much I exercise. I think it's about how much I hate myself when I get into these rooms. And as a child, I was always different. I'm a third child of 4 kids. My parents are fairly, you know, older. They were in their 40s when I was born, and then I have a younger sister. And ever since I was a child, I was just really, really afraid of everything. I was afraid to leave the house. I was afraid to talk to people. I was afraid that just, you know, one thing after another would, you know, end in chaos. And as you can tell, that didn't change it. I always felt different, you know. And when I came to OA, my sponsor suggested that I look at pictures of myself as a child. And I was really surprised to see that I wasn't really heavy. Until, you know, until fifth or sixth grade is when I started to gain weight. But I always felt heavy. Like, I always felt fat as a child. I don't know why. Maybe it's because food was comforting to me, and I knew that that was the solution for me. But I didn't gain weight until fifth grade. And then sixth grade, I went on my first diet. And it was a commercial weight loss plan. And, you know, I heard a speaker once say that he doesn't mention names of weight loss plans because it's an outside issue. And I totally support that, because I think that with the support of OA, some people could use those plans. And but it didn't work for me. So that was sixth grade. ever since then, I just, you know, I was gaining weight constantly, like every year, a lot. I would never wear the same pants, you know, season after season. I would always weigh myself. I would always hate myself. I would always start the diet tomorrow. You know, those the constant things, I think, that we do. And when I was in my early 20s, I started suffering from migraines when I was 12 or so. And about 10 years after, I went to a doctor who practiced natural kind of healing thing, and she tried to kind of learn to know me, and she asked me about, you know, my schedule, my daily schedule, and my mom was in the room with me, and she asked me, you know, to describe my meals, and in my head, like, you know, I was, like, on a constant diet, like, because, you know, the fact that it didn't actually happen the way that I imagined it had no connection, you know, with the fact of what was in my head. So I pretty much told her, you know, I'm having, you know, salads three times a day. And I really honestly believed that. And then my mom goes, no, you don't. And that was like my first, you know, introduction to life. Because that was the first time that I was confronted with the truth from an outside source. And naturally, I hated her at the moment, but I'm grateful for that now. I'm very grateful for that, because that was like the first time that somebody planted the first step seed in me, I think. And so I was obviously shocked and hurt and surprised, and I went on that food plan, and I lost the weight. And I never had that connection between... I knew that if you eat a lot, you gain weight, but when I was on a diet, once I got to that weight, I can be off the diet and I'll never gain the weight again, even if I binge. And every time I gained the weight, and I didn't understand what's the connection there? I didn't see the connection between the food and my weight. And this is, you know, someone said we wear our disease, most of us. We can't, you know, what I do in secret comes out in public. Some addictions are not like that, but I can hide my disease. I can hide it from me, but not from you guys. And that's, I think, the thing that I'm most grateful for in my disease, because I was very heavy and I couldn't hide it from me. And I'm sure that if I could have, there were, you know, I would have gone without a way for many more years. But I wear my disease. And so I left home at some point to go to university, and I was, again, always heavy, always angry. You know, I started working as a babysitter when I was 12, and I would, you know, steal people's food. I used to clean homes, and I literally, like, you know, clean the pantries too. But I, you know, I stole a lot of food. I stole money to buy food. You know, whatever it says in hour 12 and 12 in the second step, you know, I ate food that was stale. I ate food that was frozen. I have scars on my hands, actually, from cutting into food that was frozen. And I'm grateful for all these things. And I went to school. I met my ex-husband there. And we moved to California in 98. And he was working on a PhD, and so he was really working 24/7. And I didn't have a work permit because of our visa status. He was a student, and the kind of visa he had, I wasn't allowed to work. And I didn't have any friends. And so, you know, eating would obviously be the next, you know, thing to do. So that's what I did. I worked on my first step for a whole year almost. And every day was, you know, it was the same routine that I had for years and years, but this time, because I didn't have any other distractions, it happened every day. So I would wake up and I would start the diet, and I'd be on the diet for like 2 hours. And then I would starve to death because, oh my God, I'm going to eat So I go to the grocery store and I buy food, and then, you know, it's that all, like, the delicate balance between the veggies and the binge foods, because God forbid they'll know that, you know, I'm buying it all for me. And what do they think? Like, you know, I really care what the cashiers thought about me, which is amazing. And so I would go home and I would start binging. And the relief that I got was like, I cannot, you know, it's like, I can't describe that. It's like God held me in his arms when I was binging. It was like the first few minutes were amazing. And then, you know, slowly the self-hate would creep in, and the regret and the self-loathing. And I would be full, so I would put my food in the trash because obviously I'm never going to binge again. 2 hours later, to dig it out from the trash because tomorrow, and then, you know, I might as well binge today because the diet starts tomorrow. And for a whole year, day after day, and I did not see the insanity in that, I really did believe that tomorrow the diet starts. I honestly, you know, I would have signed my life on it, that, you know, tomorrow I'm going to start the diet. And I was miserable. And so I talked to my sister over the phone one day, and she has a weight problem too. And it was in end of September of 1999, and she said, okay, I have to go to an OA. And I was like, oh, hey, what's, you know, because I grew up outside the United States. I did not know 12-step programs. I might have known about AA somehow from movies or something, but I didn't know what 12-step programs were. And I asked her, and she said, well, it's a spiritual program. It's not a diet, but it has to, you know, it deals with my weight. And the moment she said that, I knew, you know, because long before that, I knew that I didn't have another diet in me. But I tried and I failed. So, you know, it's like we're at it. So, like, if the bar is here and I fail, so instead of lowering it, I'm going to put it higher and try and pass that. And then I failed that, so I'm going to put it higher. And so that was my life. And it was before the internet. So I called Albuquerque and I called World Service, and they gave me a list of meetings. And the following Saturday, 8 a.m., was my first meeting. With those, you know, losers from Aspen. And I really did feel sorry for them because I couldn't relate, you know. And people say, oh, I came to OA and it was home, you know. And I came to OA, it was a bunch of old people who were talking about how sorry they were for hurting other people. The speaker was bulimic, and, like, God forbid, I would never lose. No offense to bulimics, but, like, I would never throw up my food. I think it's blasphemy. I cannot do it. So I totally could not relate. Nothing. And yet, Monday, I was back at that meeting. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. I have no explanation. Somebody told me to buy the big book of AA, and I was like, but, you know, if I had a food problem, how is alcohol related, you know, to that? So she said, just, you know, wherever you see alcohol or alcoholism, just cross it out physically with a pen and write over it, compulsive overeater or food. And I was like, whatever, okay. So I went home and I started reading the doctor's opinion, and I hope I will never forget the relief that I felt. After, you know, when I read the doctor's opinion, I was like, wow, so, you know, I'm not stupid and I'm not slow, and it has nothing to do with willpower, I have disease. And it was such a relief to know that I'm not, you know, some people might see me as a freak, but others won't, you know, because I'm like them. And it's, you know, coming to those meetings, to OA meetings, I think it's the first time that I didn't get that, you know, like, why are you eating like you do? And I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, why aren't you eating like I do? You know, I mean, how can you not binge? And in the rooms, I heard things that I never saw or heard anybody do ever, you know? Exactly what I need. Eat out of the trash, steal food, steal money to buy food, lie to people, you know, engagements because I prefer to binge, think about food, and, you know, I always think about the, like, you know, when I'm on that stage that I think that I'm, like, almost recovered. So I go to, you know, you open the newspaper and there was, like, the fun size, you know, candy. And it's like, to me, it's torture. Like, to me, a fun size candy is, like, 5 pounds of, like, you know, memories. When you give me that little joke, it's like, that's torture because you have to open all of them and it's so difficult. It's so difficult. So you want to eat fast. It's not fast enough. No, I'm totally serious. Anyway, so yeah, and you know, so whenever I think, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm over away, you know, I'm like, so I open the newspaper, I'm like, is this fun size or is this torture size? And so long as it's torture size, then, you know I belong, you know it. So I started working the steps. And again, you know, I didn't find a sponsor easily. I asked 3 different people to sponsor me, and they all said no. And I was crushed, because how can you possibly miss, you know, on sponsoring me? But I kept on asking, and you know, it's like that Monday meeting. Why did I go to that? I don't know. Why did I keep calling people? I don't know. I don't know. I'm guessing now I was in enough pain to do that, but eventually I found the sponsor, and I know for a fact that that was the sponsor I was supposed to have, because I was very angry. I refused to believe in God, because I came from a family who mostly did not survive the Holocaust. And, you know, when I was a kid, I asked my grandfather if he thought that there was a God, and he said, well, if there was a God, he died in the Holocaust. And so I could not believe in a God. I just couldn't. And that's how I came to program. And so she worked with me so patiently, and she was so good. She was like, she didn't mention the word God. She, right off the bat, we talked about the difference between spirituality and religion. So, you know, I would have an opportunity to spew all that hate that I had and prejudice, you know, towards how religious people are not open-minded, because I am, right? So we started from, like, what values do I hold, and what's important to me, and what do I believe in, and what do I believe always, you know, is a constant. And to be honest, I believe the only constant is change. And so from that, it took me a while, but I really wanted to work on that, because I really thought that OA was the answer for me, because I heard hear things that I never heard anywhere else. So I developed a higher power very slowly, and it evolved throughout the years, and it changed, and I tried different religions, and around 2011, I kind of came to the belief or the understanding that it's a higher power. So if that higher power was, like, small enough for me to understand, it wouldn't have been big enough to help me. So that higher power that I have, it's not a he or a she or it. It's something. It doesn't love me or hate me or protects me or wants to fail me. It's because it's a higher power. It's something above me. I don't believe it has the attributes that I do. And that's kind of the higher power that I've been sticking to since 2011. And I think that's the longest I've been without, you know. I have developed, but the base of the notion of my idea of that higher power has been the same since 2011, and it has been working for me ever since. And, you know, it was funny, because I was at a meeting, you know, a while back, and one of my sponsees was, you know, I was like standing, she was standing with her back to me. And somebody asked her, you know, do you want what your sponsor has? And she's like, no, I don't. And I'm like, you bitch. You're supposed to be nice. You're supposed to say good things about me. And then she continued and she said, I got my sponsor because she has what I have, not because I want what she has. And to me, that's program, you know. That's the eye-to-eye level that we talk, that And that's what failed before. You know, somebody knew me either from a book they read in med school or, you know, because they were running some kind of a diet program, but they did not eat from the trash. They did not they didn't know what it was like. And here, we do the things that everybody does. There's no, you know, like I talked at the beginning, I don't think I can measure my disease by the quantity. It's the quality. It's like recovery. It's not how many years I have. It's what am I doing today? What have I done since Andrea woke me up at midnight last night? You know, it's today counts. You know, I can rest on my laurels. I can tell you that I've been in OA since I don't know what. But if I don't do something for that today, it's going to go away. Because I heard someone said that you coast only downhill. You know, if you don't do anything, it's going to send you down. And so that's for me, the quality of the disease is weighed against the quality of recovery and how miserable I was, whether I was 50 pounds underweight or 100 pounds overweight. That doesn't matter, because if I sit here, like at my first meeting, you know, and I hear somebody bulimic that I cannot relate to, I can leave and not come back. But if I hear somebody says, I hate myself, I lied, I cheated, then I can stay, because I've been there and I've done that and I know what it's like. We talked today a lot about higher power in the workshop, and I was thinking, you know, I take my kids to birthday parties, and they have like the treasure hunt, you know, like when you're supposed to find stuff. And they have like the atheist kids, and they're like going out to the yard and like, there's no treasure here, there's nothing. And then you have the little agnostic kids and like, well, there might be treasure, but I haven't seen any yet. And then there's, you know, the kids with faith that, you know, I know the treasure is out there. They don't have anything in their hands, but like, they know it's out there. And those are, you know, those kids are me, because I wanted OA and I found a way to work it. And I refused to call God a male for years. I'm over that now. But I think that for me, part of, you know, my sponsor once told me that it doesn't matter if we work the steps or not, because if we work the steps, we recover. If we don't work the steps, then we will be sick and die. But if we don't practice the traditions, then OA will die. And that's the most important thing. And that's why the traditions are so important to me, because I want the traditions, I want OA there for whoever needs it. I don't want OA to go away. And that really scares me. And, you know, sometimes I get very emotional at business meetings because, oh, my God, I'm going to change my OA. So, today, I don't know, I talked to you about the depression, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's something that I don't share because I always thought it was like kind of an outside issue, but I will try and say it in a way that I think, you know, relates to me. I was always very depressed, and I had anxiety attacks and everything ever since I was a child. And when I came to program, everybody said, you know, that the 12 steps is the answer to everything. And so I kept waiting for the 12 steps to lift my depression. And I had a sponsor who was very much against any mind-altering substances, whether prescribed or not. And so I refused to look at any medication that would help me, because that's what my sponsor said for years. And I was miserable, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, because I gave service. I gave a lot of service, and I was miserable. And that's, you know, I think that we come to OA and the physical part and the spiritual part, usually we take care of sooner than the way that we think. I think that the way that I think is the last thing to change.
And so for years, I refused to consider any outside thing. And then somebody talked to me about page 133 in the big book where they said that, you know, we do use doctors, we use qualified doctors. And I agreed to try something natural. And that something changed me so much that I was like, give it a try. I was like, and I'm so grateful that I did that. And that's my experience that, you know, the 12 steps are not the answer to everything. And that I am allowed. I use a nutritionist because I believe that I shouldn't get my food plan from a sponsor. I was diagnosed with Crohn's in 2002, and I was in OA already for 3 years. And I think that what brought it up was that I was following my sponsor's food plan. Again, I had a sponsor who, you know, you don't need to go to a nutritionist because I can tell you what to eat. And I ate exactly the opposite of what my body needed. And I think it damaged my stomach more. I think, you know, Crohn's it's a chronic disease. I had it before, but I think it was brought about faster because I ate things that on paper, you know, for my food plan, I was, you know, at a healthy body weight, but they destroyed me from the inside. And so, you know, something that I do ask my sponsees is to see a nutritionist because I, you know, they can give me their food, I don't care. But this is not, you know, like, it's not about the food, because if it were about the food, I would have gone to that commercial food plan when I was in sixth grade and it would have worked. But it's not about the food, because I can't give up the food, because when you take away the food and you don't give me the steps, you don't replace it with anything else, I would kill you for food. I am a nasty, nasty person. And it's not, you know, it, to me, it didn't look like, oh, I need to eat. It's, you know, it's, it always starts with, oh, you know, they're looking at me funny, or she didn't smile at me this morning, so something's wrong. You know, and it's all from here, like, all the way to here. That's what the world's about. And sometimes now I get to recognize that, and I call my sponsor, and I'm like, people are looking at me funny. And she's like, well, it's probably you. So, but, you know, today I get that, and sometimes I even recognize that, and I'm so grateful that I recognize that, because I, like, can see how insane I am, and it's like I'm, you know, I always want to remember where I came from. It's a terrible, terrible disease that we have. I think it's really bad because I think we live in a society that sanctions our drug, and it's legal and it's nice, and you know, so I gain weight so they make the seats higher or you know, wider, or you know. And I was thinking, I was flying over here with Neva, and when I went to school, I used to fly a lot home, and I could never walk straight down the aisle. And I remember within a few months in OA, I had to fly to New York, and I remember that I could walk down the aisle, and I was like, oh, you know, it's like a totally, it's a different experience. But again, we noticed these things way before. We notice the way that we think. The way that I'm thinking was absolutely the last thing to change. I think, you know, the longest distance is from my brain to my heart, because there are many things that I know rationally, but if I don't believe in them and if I didn't experience them, then I won't practice them. I do know that the steps work, but I'm grateful that, you know, I had a sponsor who always used to say, remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. What's the operative word there? And I'm like, cunning, it's cunning. And he's like, nope, it's not cunning. So I'm like, okay, it's baffling. And he's like, nope, it's not baffling. I'm like, powerful. And he's like, nope, it's remember. Because, and then he said, you know, all those strange mental lapses that we have, it's when we abstain. It's not when we're binging. It's when I abstain that I forget You know, so it's the remember that I'm like, oh yeah, oh, okay, right, this is how miserable I am after I binge. So OA is, I don't know, I always say OA is everything to me, and OA saved my life, and but I don't think that the promises work for me necessarily, because my life is really good, and I'm very grateful. I have a part-time job, I have three healthy kids, I have a home, I go to school full-time, and that's not program, you know? I think that the promises work for us when people next to us die, when we lose our kids, when you know, we feel when we're sick, and we still abstain. This is when the promises, you know, come true. I don't, you know, the program is great, and I'm grateful, but I think the program, you know, the real testament to program is people who have a really challenging life, and they abstain, and they come to meetings, and they give service, and that is, to me, that is an inspiration. I, you know, because, you know, I used to give my sponsor gratitudes, and of course, you know, I could never think of any. So he's like, you wake up, what's the first thing you see? And I was like, I see the ceiling. And he's like, there you go, you have a home. I was like, oh, okay. So it's, you know, those really the small things that I take for granted, the fact that I can see, the fact that I can hear music, the fact that I have three kids, and they go to school, you know, they're still small, so I can control them. But I know it's coming. But these are, you know, and my higher power is reality. I don't think there's a stronger or bigger higher power than reality. Because it is what it is, and I cannot regret the past, even though sometimes I do. But again, rationally I know I shouldn't, because then I wouldn't be where I am now. But sometimes, you know, I did make amends to people I hurt. I worked the steps, or the traditions, or the concepts. I call my sponsor every day. I read the for today, and I do the question in the workbook, and then I call her and read it to her. And sometimes I hate writing. It's by far my weakest tool. So sometimes it's just a yes or a no, you know, that I answer. But still, I call her, and I put pen to paper, and I did that. And, you know, it's that accountability that I need. And that's, you know, that's what I do today. And I'm so grateful for OA, and I pray that, you know, we'll be better than we are today. And because without OA, really, what, you know, I don't have anything. So, thanks.